For our first segment, WOOC correspondent Aaron Pattinati speaks with David King, editor of The Alt.
I'm Aaron Pattinati, and today I'm interviewing David Howard King about local and alternative news production in the Capital Region. David is the editor and associate publisher of the Capital Region's new alternative news weekly, The Alt. He spent 7 years covering state government from a New York City perspective for the Gotham Gaze. In 2012, he served as the state reporter for the Center for Public Integrity's State Integrity Investigation that was backed by Public Radio International. He's the winner of multiple New York Press Association awards, including Writer of the Year 2007 and Feature of the Year. He started his journalism career through an internship at Metroland, Albany's now defunct Alt Weekly. He was hired there later that year, and that was a fitting start to his career since the Alt has filled the gap left by the demise of Metroland, coming to serve as the leading weekly source of alternative news for the Tri-City area. David, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
To start out, I want to ask about the fall of Metroland. I was living away from the Capital Region when it went under, but when I got back and found out it was no longer in publication, I remember feeling a mix of surprise and regret over the fact that an alternative news source that had seemed like a fixture or even kind of an institution of the Capital Region was no longer with us. What happened there?
To be honest, when I was a kid, I looked up to Metroland. It was a source for me to find what to do every week and learn about different things that I wouldn't in the larger publications. When I first started interning there in college and then afterwards, I quickly learned that it was in turmoil. And week to week, it was a publication that you would wonder what was going to happen. You know, were you going to get paid that week? Were freelancers going to write because they weren't paid? I mean, it was struggling, and obviously it was going on in the middle of the prevalence of internet news and blogging and things like that. And I don't think it adapted one to new technology and the way consumers. Or people the way people consume news, and I also think it had a problem with diversity and covering topics that mattered to real people and coming from more of an open and diverse perspective rather than sort of being just a bastion of Lark Street and sort of middle of the road democratic politics.
Okay, so that's the sad story from the past. Now let's turn to the happier story from the present. Can you tell us a bit about the Alt? What is it and what does it do?
Well, before I even got involved, I had heard about Overit, which is a local multimedia company, the Daily Gazette, which obviously the Schenectady paper, and Proctor's, which the Proctor's Theater, which has its hand in obviously a lot of entertainment in the region, Capital Rep and things like that, that all these people were going to get together and sort of try to save and or replace Metroland. And I was skeptical of it at first because Metroland had a hard go of it. And some of their messaging on what they wanted to achieve wasn't what I thought was exactly possible or needed in the area. But I did know a lot of the people involved, and they're people that really care. They're deeply involved in the community. And so when I interviewed for the position, I was frank in what I thought was needed and in the region, and they agreed with me and gave me the ability to really implement my vision. And, of course, it grows day to day. But, I think what we really want to do is serve the community by highlighting local arts and the creative economy and provide journalism that the mainstream media isn't, and really keeping the public informed. There's no place really needs it more, in my opinion, than Albany, with so many institutions that are just old and set in their ways and run by the establishment, and all of our journalism sources in the area are connected to government in some way. They rely on the government they cover for money. And I think that, there needs to be independence here. Obviously, what you guys do here is extremely important as well in giving people a voice. And so that's what we're striving to do.
Can you tell us a bit about the effort that goes into putting an alternative news publication together on a weekly basis? What's the timeline for selecting, submitting, and editing stories?
So our week basically starts on Tuesday when we have an editorial meeting. It's me, Katie Cusack, our news editor, and Luke Stoddard-Nathan, our news editor. And we have a set of freelancers that sometime work. And we have our meeting we pick stories, we look through the major things that are in the works already, and, you know, the struggle for an alt-weekly that's trying to put out news daily is that we want to do these long investigative pieces that need a lot of research, and we also want to make sure that we're getting scoops and keeping people informed on the things that really impact their lives. So there's a lot of balance that goes on there, but by Friday we have a wrap on most of the stories we knew were going to be in the paper, and then on Monday we sort of lock ourselves in the basement and put out the paper. We do the production in-house. We do the design in-house. So it's all very handmade, and it takes – by the end of Monday, we're all ready to go to bed for a long time. But right. It's worth it.
So along those lines, how do your editorial staff and writers make decisions about what kind of stories to pursue in the first place, and what kinds of priorities about newsworthiness affect your decisions in this regard?
Well, I think a lot of what we look at, in terms of, say, arts and music, we look at sort of the creative economy and how people can help each other sort of bridge there's a parochialism in the area between Albany and Troy and Schenectady and Saratoga. So bringing that all together, highlighting the people that deserve it, we look at what isn't being covered but deserves its due. We look for trends. So that's sort of arts coverage. But news coverage, there are distinct ways that the establishment media here covers certain stories. And we look to subvert that in a lot of ways. And we look to get involved in stories that perhaps they don't want to touch or are uncomfortable for them. I think, say, for one... to give an example of a story that I think has been covered poorly in the area, but we're still working on, is sort of the Me Too movement and sexual harassment in the media or politics, or I'm sorry, in government. And we're working on a number of stories, and perhaps local mainstream media are too, but we haven't seen them yet, and we know that there's a lot of this institutionalized, and it's a touchy subject, and it'll offend a lot of people once these stories hit, but we're working on them because I think it's a service to the region. It'll better our community to have these issues discussed.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of other stories that might deserve some attention but haven't gotten their due, anything in local politics or scandals, extreme local controversies, things like that?
Well, I think we're seeing – I mean, obviously we're sitting here in Troy where you have – a DA who's been indicted for this handling of a police shooting of a citizen. There's a quadruple murder that the police have had trouble prosecuting already. There's a distinct lack of trust in the police. And to pretend that it's a unique situation for sure, but to pretend the atmosphere is unique is absurd, because in Schenectady you have one of the most corrupt police departments we've seen. And that's not saying they're not working on making it better, but to think that we're in this situation in Troy in 2018 with institutionalized racism, with police, we've seen them cut corners on a number of cases, drug raids that interrupt communities. We're miles away from the state capitol where they preach about fixing this sort of stuff. And yet we see this stuff flare up all the time. And as advanced and sort of progressive as we want to pretend that Albany and Troy might be, we're living in these systems that are inherently corrupt and flawed.
Okay, so for the last question, can you give a sense of the significance of local, independent, alternative news? What are the unique challenges and rewards of producing news in this way? Why is it important, and why is it something that you care about?
Well, one of the major challenges we've run into is that, I think to be truly effective, we have to offend some people. We have to tell stories that people didn't want told or are going to be particularly sensitive about how we tell them. And it's something we have to absorb. We have to be ready to deal with. My last job for 7 years was at a not-for-profit, so I didn't have to worry about who I was offending or what was, to some extent. But I don't worry about it here, but I hear about it. And I didn't used to hear about it because, you see an advertiser who's offended and you think, what happened? And that's not to, like I said, we don't take it into account. We want to press buttons, and I think that's where we make our bones. But it is challenging because the other alternatives, like blogs and other local things that do this sort of coverage or try to, make sure they don't insult anyone. And they run press releases daily, and they do very tame coverage, and they don't push, because if you push, you lose advertisers and you get backlash. And so I think it's our duty, and a duty as journalists, to question authority, to push elected officials, to question the way systems work and have for years, and to, you have to make people angry. There's no way around it.
Okay, so that actually raised one last question, and I'm going to add to my questions. The issue of funding in the face of willing to be controversial. So you are willing to do things that other publications aren't willing to do around here, and there's a chance that can offend people in some ways that may not be necessarily good for a mainstream commercial funding supply. So how do you get around that? What's your funding model?
Well, I mean, we are straight advertising. That's how we make our money. And, we've talked about the idea that we could do nonprofit journalism. And you see The Guardian and sources like that asking for donations, but we haven't and we don't plan to. What we say to our advertisers is, look, people have to read us because we make these stories. And even say an advertiser that says, oh, you're not covering you're not covering the big mainstream shows, you're covering too much underground stuff. Well, the kids that go to those underground shows pick it up every week. And if you want to get them to your shows, you're going to need to reach them through our. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky. It's not easy, but I think it's really worth doing.
So it's kind of like being honest with the advertisers about the fact that you're going to be controversial.
Yeah. I mean, they see it every week. Can't hide it.
Right. Well, David, thanks again for sitting down for this interview. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
And to our listening audience, please be sure to tune in at the same time next week for another interview with David about the State Integrity Investigation of 2012.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM.
That was WOOC correspondent Aaron Pidnati speaking with David King, editor of the Alt Magazine.